Hi, everyone. We're back. It's the Collaboration UK podcast.
Hiya.
We've got a bumper-packed show today. We have not one, not two, but three guests and the two usual suspects, the legends that are Nicholas Holmes, Stefan Marsh, and we turn our attention to those now. We'll start off with Nick and Steph. How are you guys?
Thank you.
I'm wonderful.
Nick, unfortunately, we haven't been racing, so I haven't got another trophy to hold up this week.
give it till 4 Power Life. Hopefully you have a few more there, Stefan. Nick, you're all good, mate.
Yeah, I'm here.
There we go. Right.
that's about it.
Yeah,
living the dream.
Living the dream.
Living some sort of dream, I think everyone is. And we've got four technically very special guests on today. We'll start off with Mike Bland. How are you, sir?
All good, thanks.
Fantastic. Rob Wellham.
Yeah.
Welcome.
Good
to see you. And finally, last but certainly not least, we have Dawn Boyd and Andrew Butcher of the B42's motorsport team. And Dawn on track. How are we doing, guys?
B42's.
Hello.
Good.
We're all good.
And the reason we've got these lovely guests on today, we actually have an ambassador special. I thought we got to episode 10, we'll do something a bit different. We've had the first two ambassadors on in an earlier episode, and we thought, let's get these lovely guys on to talk about the one thing that we all love talking about, their club racing. So,
yeah.
There we go. I mean, hopefully if you hadn't been out last week, I think you needed a canoe or something similar if you went racing last week. It was a bit wet. In that case, we actually move on to the news because the CFCC meeting at Snetterton, the Wetterton nickname, lived up to its tag. It was abandoned on the Sunday after one qualifying session and one race. There was a massive downpour in the lunchtime. They cleaned it up by 4 o'clock, but we do have some pictures courtesy of Mark Werrell. If we could just get them up on the screen, we'll show you how bad it was. Have we got them?
I think an outboard motor was probably needed for everybody more than engines in motor cars, that was for sure.
There we go.
Oh, look at that. got to
fit your snorkel on the car instead.
Yeah, I'm told that the water actually came up through race admin, through the floor. It got that wet. They had six inches worth of rainfall in an hour. Absolutely amazing. I don't know if we've got any. There we go. There's the pit straight as well. I know the first corner was flooded and they were getting the pumps out. You can't race in that, can you?
That's insane. No, not at all. Mate, like I say, speedboats. If you were in a speedboat, possibly.
That was
in race cars, definitely not.
It was certainly Wetterton that lived up to his name, but they actually got everything cleared by 4 o'clock, and they thought they would get racing in the shortened race formats, but by 4 o'clock, another rain cloud came and dumped the same amount of water, so they had to give up.
That's mad. I think if anyone was going to fare okay in that, probably Rob's car, Mr. Wellham, your car probably may have fared better in that with large wings and things like that. But that was torrential, wasn't it?
I've got to give credit to the CSCC, though, because they have offered a 50% refund to everyone that didn't race and qualified. They didn't have to do that. No. Technically, they don't have to do that, so that's a bloody good shout-out to them.
Very good. Yeah, and like you say, you got a feel for the guys who have obviously been prepping for weeks for their race meeting, and then to be... because they were there as well. They were ready to go, and then just... Yeah, I've seen... I don't think Wellies would have kept it out.
No. Well, apparently it was even picking stuff up in the pit garages and carrying it down the pit lane as well. It was that bad. It just flooded everything.
If it was helping people load up, there's a silver lining, isn't there?
Well, you just park your van at the bottom of the pit lane and just scoop everything
into
it.
Scoop everything in.
Right, so we move on from the news, and we're going to start by starting to interview some fantastic people we've got on the show today. And we're going to start with Mike Bland. So, Mike, raced
first in the firing line, Mike.
There we go. So, you raced with the Castlecombe Racing Club in Hot Hatch, I believe.
Yep, I say first year.
A beautiful 306 GTI. So tell us about what got you into that car, and you know what just made you go into racing with that particular series.
The car, in all honesty, the car was kind of had a few Peugeots before, so it's somewhat new, realistically. Had a track car again for the last couple of years. So again, it was actually a 205 with the Peugeot, with obviously the current Peugeot's engine in it. So
yeah.
I kind of went from the 205 to the 306 with the idea of racing, so the 306 would fit into a lot more series effectively, because it's obviously the right engine in the right car compared to the 205. Just something I knew really. I wanted to do racing for quite a few years. It was a easy choice really on the car. It's probably wouldn't be the best car out of the box to pick, I wouldn't have thought, but from what I had, obviously parts wise, it's something I built myself with my father in law. So it's self bought, self built. So
and good man.
Actually, know the car, know inside out helps.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to hand you over to Nick, actually, because I believe you've got a video to show everyone, Nick, to do with Mike's...
Yes, so I did. I should have written it down, but CP Photos, a guy who's been doing some work with you, hasn't he, Mike?
Chris Pearson,
Chris Pearson. So he sent in a video and a couple of awesome shots of you in action. I do believe we've got them in the background for the guys to play, but check these videos of Mike out in action.
Are we there?
There she is. A couple of steals in there as well. So look at that.
Gave me some beans there, don't you? That, I love a car like that. It just takes me back to my sort of early teens watching those cars in the British Touring Cars in the production class, because they ruled the roost.
You know what? I was just thinking that, you know, it does throw you back to, was it pre-production saloons, wasn't it, after the super touring year and things like that. So I think that's kind of what attracted us to the 306 and yourself, Mike, because, as I say, it's a stunning car. I've been lucky enough to see it personally when I come up and got that power steering rack from you. But yeah, immaculate car, looks the business. And you know, you're a track day enthusiast gone racer. So obviously the idea behind this ambassador program before all the COVID stuff started was to help the likes of guys like yourself or people that, you know, wanted more exposure. And you fit the bill perfectly. So,
oh, yeah.
Unfortunately, yeah. It hasn't quite turned out that way this year, with this year pretty much being turned upside down for pretty much everybody. But yeah.
Yeah, it's quite good. We at least managed to get out a few times, which is good. So,
how have you found it in those races so far, Mike?
To be fair, okay. I mean, it's probably in some ways, it's probably a nice thing, a little bit less pressure. Because obviously it's quite closed. I mean, there's still no spectators at the moment at Castle Combe, so it's quite locked down. So it's you and a mechanic, effectively, or you and one person. So, but yeah, no, to get obviously again, it's the first year, so I've got no experience with anything else. So, but no, still, yeah, really good fun. It's just, yeah,
getting used to it, really.
Yeah, it's a busy, yeah, I think it's busy nearly, well, 32 cars probably raced so far. So,
busy. Yeah, no matter what car you're in, you're more or less going to be having a race with someone. Yeah. And that's, to be fair, that's also, you know, I've got a script written up for the Castle Combe Racing Club as well, so we will be covering that at a later date. But yeah, fantastic night. So what are you looking to sort of get more out of the rest of the year? Just more experience, get some more track time? And
Again, seat time more than anything else, really. The car's pretty good. The car's, so we built the car over the last year, really. So car's... touch wood, the car's fairly capable. It's a good car, reliable so far. Again, touch wood. It seems jinx that now, should have said that. But the car's probably better than the driver for now. So just need to, just again, seat time on the grid and just get used to it, really.
One of those things to sort of grow into.
Yeah, definitely. So, yeah, I kind of built it wanting to be aiming for mid-pack kind of car, and it's definitely there, so...
I was going to say, I would say more than mid-pack. You've certainly had some good results so far and shown a really good competitive sort of streak in yourself. So, yeah, fantastic.
Good.
Right. With that, we shall move on to our second ambassador, Mr. Rob Whelan. How are you, sir?
I'm very well, thank you.
Right. Describe your season so far.
You're not allowed to swear on you.
yeah, to be fair, we kind of threw that rule book out a little while ago.
yeah,
it's hard to explain. But no, like, I was all guns blazing, ready for this or last weekend, and yeah, the car had other issues or other ideas. But no, like, yeah, I was all hyped up because obviously COVID. I think a lot of racing drivers were ready to go out and everyone was hyped to go racing, and
it's not gone well. So you qualified, looking at the live stream, you qualified fourth and then couldn't get out in the race. So what's actually happened to the car?
We don't know for like 100% what has gone wrong. But yeah, on qualifying, I've never been like the fastest qualifier in the world. And to me, that's not really a problem, because my race pace is a lot quicker in the race and I can keep it up with the consistency. But yeah, in qualifying, I did a hot lap on lap two or three or something. And that was my quickest lap. And then I went for another hot lap on lap five. And I didn't think it was enough. So I went for another one. And yeah, got to the start of the straight, and I heard a little ticking noise, like not anything huge or anything major, just heard this tick. So then I dropped the clutch, listened to the idle of the car, and yeah, there was something not right with it. And obviously with the car itself, like if Fraser, the pretty much the head of the Jedi production car, he said if you hear or see or know of anything, just switch it off. So that's what I did. So I switched it off. I got pulled back to the pits after qualifying. It was luckily the checkered flag, so I didn't red flag it for anyone. Pulled over to a safe spot, got towed back, and we started it up. And yeah, it wasn't sounding right. So we had a few options. We could either go home, and that's our weekend over, and the championship pretty much over as well. We could put a spare engine in it, which we did have, but it's not our engine. It's Fraser's. So if we blow that up, we've then got to pay for two engine bills, which aren't cheap, as motorsport isn't the cheapest sport.
No.
So yeah, it's something to do with the top end, either a valve, something to do with the valving system. I'm not an engineer. The mechanics know a lot more than I do what the names. I think it's something with a C. But yeah, it's not
a vehicle, something with a car.
Yeah,
it's
the car's broken.
We haven't put a hole through the engine, which would cost like $4,000-$5,000 onwards. There's no metal or anything in the oil, so nothing on the bottom end's gone. It's just something to do with the valves. You can't race it. It will still work, but it'll blow up even more.
Yeah, you're going to do more harm than good if you try and run it like it is. So yeah, good shout to switch it off and.
Well, like all yeah. the valves, like the oil pressure, the oil temperature, like the water temperature. They're all running how they normally do, but with this track, it's so harsh on the cars for the oil pressure side that can obviously cause issues. And I wasn't even pushing it that hard in the Friday press or the Friday practice, but then got to qualify and I started pushing it a bit harder. Nothing stupid, but yeah, she didn't want to.
She didn't like it. She wanted to go back in her shed.
That sounds like exactly what's happened, to be fair. But I do feel for you, Rob, because a lot of the build up to it, you know, you'd announced the sponsors, got everything together, and I was, you know, the F1000 looks a great championship. You're competitive. We saw some photos there of yourself last year, looking pretty good. They are some sexy cars, those F1000s. I do like.
Yeah,
I know you two are a big fan of them, aren't you? So,
well. Again, yeah, when we were doing it again, I go back to when we were choosing the ambassadors. I was more intrigued by the series, because I'll be completely honest, Rob, I don't know the greatest deal about the series, but it looks fantastic. So I figured the idea was obviously get one of you guys on board. You were favourite. And then obviously we were going to come along and do some more work with you throughout the year and teach ourselves as well as helping you guys out.
Not a lot of people know about it, because Fraser and John, John is Fraser's dad. He's obviously the older generation, not being rude to him.
Yeah.
But social media isn't there. It's word of mouth to him. Social media now is like bigger than it's ever been before. So they used to be called Formula Jedi.
They never used
to promote themselves. But now it's come up with a relaunch of F1000, because obviously it's Formula and it's 1000cc for the Suzuki GXR engine.
Hopefully
this year the grids are even. I think the grids are built by like 10 already from last year. So it's going up and up and up, which is brilliant.
Yeah,
because when it was known as Formula Jedi, it raced with the BRSBC. It did suffer a bit of a slump, but now again, it's one of those. It's moved to the 750 Motor Club, been rebranded, and sort of seen a rapid climb. And I mean, I can see something like that for yourself. Obviously, is it single seater career you want to move towards, or what sort of attracted you to that?
Definitely single seats. I want, that is the place I want to be. I don't mind tin tops, but I've always found with karting, I like the helmet. Like, you can look around and you can see everything. You haven't got pillars, you haven't really got a bonnet in your like your way. And I think like with single seat is the racing, a lot more people respect each other, because you're wheel to wheel. With tin tops, you've got panels, You can slightly nudge someone there and like give them a little tap up the bum. Or
what are you saying? What are you saying?
You can't do that. Single seat. Yeah. Well, you can try, but then you'll get a reputation.
You can try, but you'll end up upside down.
Yeah, I was going to say there's probably a bit more of a risk element, isn't there, if you try and race a bit too hard?
Yeah, you can get close, but close is enough. You don't want to get much closer.
Can you get close enough you can sort of reach across and give him a slap round the top of his helmet just to put him off and then drive off?
When I'm out, I'll try it.
Okay. Right. tell us how that goes.
Yeah.
What are you going to say anyway? Sorry.
No. That was just obviously the respect behind an open and closed wheel racing, isn't it? Obviously, Tin Tops, as he was saying, is a bit more argy bargy with open wheel racing. Yeah, I think there's definitely that mutual respect. Unless, of course, you're a Caterham driver, and they obviously think as soon as they've got a mud guard over it, that means it's fine. But no, you can definitely see in the racing there's a lot more respect.
The mudguard protects it all. So yes. your plans for later this year, Rob, tell us about them.
Still, F1000 is the priority this year. Next year, I think we'll still be with them. But yeah, this year we are obviously we're paying for the engine to be rebuilt after we know what's wrong with it and we'll get the bill through. But yeah, we'll have to miss Alton. Trying to think, that's the 5th of September, so that was less than 2 weeks now. But we were going to do that, but the money we're spending on was obviously to go to Alton. Now we're having to spend on the engine,
it's paying for the engine,
but where obviously I did well at. But yeah, it's a shame because I haven't even got to race as such. I've got to do qualifying, but not racing.
Well, yeah, you're going to have to go out to Snet and win it, aren't you? Well, you heard it here first on the Club Racing UK podcast. Rob Welland is going to win at Snetterton.
Yeah, win both races. So what we need is 2 fastest laps, 2 lap records, 2 wins and pole. No pressure. Right, some comments. Maxine Nichols says hi to everyone. Darren Cook, was it something I said? We started broadcasting earlier on in a bit of a mistake with the background team. Darren Cook commented saying hi, everyone, and we came offline. How you doing, Darren? I hope you're well. Carl Graves has asked, the sleeve bit in the valve, is it the valve collet that he's talking about?
That is the one.
Right, valve collet. Okay.
I knew what I was on about.
You didn't have a clue what he was on about. You're just looking for the word.
Tony Hunter is tuning in. Good evening, Mr. Hunter. He says evening, guys. And Chris Pearson, going back to Mike Bland, Chris Pearson is viewing the show. It's CPE Photo.
Yes.
So,
yes.
There we go. So we learned something new. Okay, so we move on from Rob Wellham and we go again, last but not least. We go to the duo on our screen there. We go to Dawn Boyd and Andrew Butcher, the B42's Motorsport. I spoke to you guys at Autosport, didn't I? And we had a good chat in between the tannoy going off.
Double trouble.
Double trouble.
Yeah. Look at them.
Double trouble.
So, Dawn, you have a VW Golf Mark V production GTI in a fantastic livery. It looks absolutely stunning. There we go, up on the screen now. That was a very wet Thruxton. That's becoming a bit of a theme at the moment. Everywhere's wet.
Yeah,
anyone would think it was summer.
Yeah, all the way through COVID, everyone's looking and getting suntans, and no one can go out racing. But as soon as we're allowed to race, freeze.
Well, there we go. So, guys, tell us a bit about the car, what B42s is all about, and what your plans are so far this year.
Okay, well, a little bit of background that because I'm a racer and a marshal. We decided to make the car bright orange, and with the support and backing of the BMOC, which is the British Marshall Club, we've covered it in their little logos. As you can see, we've also had some support this year, which has been brilliant. Both of the boards have come on board, and that fancy toolbox that's on there has been donated to us for that. and they've also provided some amazing prizes for our marshals. And all I do is that there's no funding for me as such, just donations and gifts and snacks and merchandise for the marshals, because they're all volunteers and generally they get nothing. Some clubs are brilliant and they give some donations of cash or prizes and gifts and things like that sometimes, but it's very rare. But they are in all weathers, first thing in the morning to last thing at night, and we can't race without them. So we've covered the car in our own weather. And if I get some snacks and things, I will hand them out on the day of the race, and every marshal gets something. There's hot drinks in the paddock. And if we get some donations of merchandise or a prize, they will go into a pot. And we do a prize draw for the marshals. And we've had over 50 prizes since we started this last year. And we've continued this year, even though we haven't done much business. So it's going well. We've got lots of happy marshals. We've had donations, as I say, from Draper Tools. And we've had some support this year from Eco Trailers that gave us a great discount on our fancy new trailer, which has all been delivered up by Ned Pines.
I love the trailer. The trailer looks awesome.
Trailer looks fab. We love our sticker, which is we call him Buster, because he's literally busting out of the metalwork holding his covered in orange, he's holding his flag. So well, our sticker is this year. I think it's going to end up forwarding on to next year as well. So, but we're still going.
Still going. I must say, Andrew, you look very photogenic in that photo with the car, the toolbox. I think you'll find that is probably in page number 36 of the Draper Tools catalogue, probably.
Oh, yeah.
There we go.
Look at that.
Yeah, that was, it's just a posing thing going on there. It took a few times to get it right, but yeah, it's all right. So, there's the job. Draper Tools wanted some pictures of the tools being used, and they put it on their Monday morning slot, I think.
Yeah.
We can fix it with Draper Tools. And, yeah, so that made it on there, which is quite cool.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah. So what are you about to do there, Andrew? Can you tell us?
I was trying to work out which was my left hand and which was my right hand, really.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah, no, it's just getting ready for an oil change, you know.
just sort of work. Well, I thought it was sort of the post-COVID, you were checking what gloves to put on, you were going for the mask next.
We preempted all this, did you know?
So have you guys been out racing at all this year, and what have you been out in? Oh, we've lost Dawn, we've lost your audio.
Oh, no.
Oh, I can hear you now, yeah.
Yeah.
I can't hear anything.
We've got nothing.
Oh, we've lost your audio again.
Oh, no. I don't know why.
Ah,
oh, there we go. Back. Got it back.
We've got it back. Your microphone went quiet. Right, okay, so tell us again, what are your plans for this year?
We were hoping to have done that again last weekend because I had my hand operation. I hadn't recovered yet. So we had to cancel the balloons that we had last weekend. But we've still got a couple more races, hopefully. We've got the production UTIs should start in the end of September and October, and then one in November.
Okay, so.
So still got a fair amount of racing to go. That's good.
So you are doing the production GTI round at Thruxton?
No, there's not one at Thruxton there. We've got.
I thought there was.
No, there's heavy. We've got Brown Thruxton, September 27th. We've got Alton Park, 17th of October. And we've now got Thompson on the 7th of November. That's the best.
All guaranteed to be.
Fantastic. Okay, Andrew. So you managed to get the car out at Thruxton in the very, as you can see in the very wet photos there. So describe it from your point of view, because it wasn't just Dawn in the car, was it?
No. We had a 40-minute race, and we had my son out in the car again. He stepped in a couple of times for Dawn once at Donington when she wasn't allowed to race because she had a bit of a blood clot in her leg. So we made an emergency phone call to him. Get your back tied up here. You're racing. And he's like, what? Just get here.
Yeah, so, here, now.
Yeah, basically it was that, you know. Because, you know, we're up there, we're set up, we've paid the money. Dawn was quite happy for him to go out in the car. We had a little agreement. If he damaged it, I will pay for it. But yeah,
that's how it works for Dawn as well, though, isn't it? Do you fit the bill?
Well, yeah. Well, if she damages it, I repair it, but she pays for it.
Oh, that's all right then. No, you've definitely got the short straw in that relationship, eh?
I have, yeah. But, yeah.
Either way, you're the man at the end of it holding the spanner.
Yeah.
So how did you guys? How did you guys get on at Thruxton in the wet? It was a CSCC race you did, wasn't it? The Turbo Tin Tops.
It was, yeah. I think we ended up third in class.
Well, we weren't running that cars. We have a standard tyre that we have to stick to with the production GTIs, so we ran them because we haven't got any wet. So they've done all right. They've done well.
That's it. I spoke to you, didn't I, Dawn, after that weekend, and you were saying about how you had a little running in the rain, and then, as you're saying, your son got to run right behind the safety car for his entire stint. So I felt well sorry for him for that, but.
That would have been an easy drive. Just sort of sit there, coast, follow the flashing yellow lights in the distance. Just, stick the wipers on, bit of radio too.
I was just glad we come over no damage. No damage is always good for me.
It's still more racing than Rob did, but.
Yeah.
Sorry, Rob.
The car's a good car. The car's a good car. We built it. It was built in a fairly short time, really, considering, we decided we're going to get a racing in that series, and then it was just like, let's get it together over Christmas.
It looks a business as well. It looks a great-looking car.
It looks a good grid, the old production GTI grid. You know, the Mark 5 Gold GTIs, I think, is quite a proper setup little car, so...
Handy little cars. But it's what's the word? Dominated. When I started last year, it was a brand new car. The family team. I even held a spanner and made the coffee sometimes, but it worked. Parked on my arse, and some of the guys were just saying, how is it going on to that in that slippery condition? So I said, I don't know. Hopefully next year we're going to see if we can cross some of our races.
Fantastic. Right, so we've met our ambassadors. However, there were two other ambassadors we've already sort of seen, spoken to already. They have been out racing since the last podcast. Red Seal Racing went to Silverstone in the MSVR Super Cup combined grid with the Track Day Trophy. Qualified reasonably well. I think it was 8th or 9th he qualified, wasn't it, Nick?
I think so, yeah.
And then I was sat in my living room and I got a sense that many pounds had just been spent. about to be spent. I haven't got the pictures, but they are on the Red Seal Racing page. What happens when a sequential gearbox becomes cheese?
Doesn't sequential.
No. I think Patrick just got too excited. Just pulled on it a bit too hard.
And shattered the gearbox. I've never seen that much metal in all my life.
That was not metal that shouldn't be in the correct places, at least.
Yeah, pretty much. There was no gaffer. There was no gaffer tape fixing that. So unfortunately, Red Seal Racing did not get out in the race in the MSBR Silverstone.
Because I remember you messaging me, Rob, and you were like, "I've not seen the Red Seal Racing car come back yet. What's happened?" And I was like, "I can't even remember where I was. I wasn't even following any racing that weekend." But yeah, you were right. Yeah, they broke it.
Yeah, yeah. Where we couldn't get a live stream, I did try and follow on TSL timing, and I knew the conditions there were quite bad. I just thought to myself, I hope there hasn't been something at the start. But it turned out they started out under safety car and they just didn't start the race. But see, that's what happened to sequential gearbox. If it turns to cheese, it gets expensive.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. I feel for those guys because they bought that car. And it's a mega car, but they have had a few issues since owning it. Yeah, so.
So you have a sequential gearbox as well, Rob?
Yeah, pretty much.
But it's not made of cheese.
Because the car is a superbike with four wheels, pretty much, and some wings and some pretty bodywork. It is very similar to a sequential gearbox. With you don't have to use the clutch going up the gears. The thing that a motorbike engine is they didn't design it brilliantly, because if you put a hole through it in the engine, the gearbox is ruined as well. You can save the gears, but the whole case is like a massive unit. So if you break that,
it's one big lump.
Build a whole new engine. So yeah, I've done that twice now. So
I've done it twice.
It's good fun. Yank through all the gears, push down to go down. Yeah. I think I'll ask you before Nick does, Rob. Nick wants to go. Just let him have a drive.
Yeah.
No.
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 You don't.
No.
No.
No. Steph's now our designated driver. I've got one drive and that's it then. I'm done.
I was just thinking though, could you imagine Nick sat in one of those? It'd be like Gandalf just poking out over the top.
it'd be like me in a noddy car.
We'll have to get you in it anyway, just for a photo.
Just for shits and gigs.
That'd be quite just for the sheer entertainment value, Rob. Can we borrow your car? We don't need the engine.
Just quickly, I've just had a message from Patrick. And it said, hold on. Ah, no. Go away. He's put lots and lots of pounds, pal.
Yeah, I thought it was that calling card I could sort of hear with the rustling of pound notes being put down and someone quietly sobbing in the corner. Moving on to our last ambassador, who's not here with us. Rick Walker was out at Donington Park last weekend in the CNC Heads. He certainly had a bit of a battered and bruised week. Action packed, battered, bruised. I know there were several cars in the walls that weekend at Donington when it was wet. But it's all part of a learning curve, I guess, guys, as you guys would know. So he qualified reasonably well, but he did end up in the gravel. Unfortunately, ended race one in the barriers, but got the car repaired, came back, finished 13th overall, battered, bruised, but he's vowing to crack on. Fair play to him. And he's second in his class.
That's it.
So
keep
good luck.
Calm and carry on, right?
Keep calm and carry on. So we'll be giving you guys updates on these wonderful people throughout the year. With that, guys. We are going to do a racing roundup tonight. I haven't picked everything from every weekend because, let's be honest, it's getting to a point. There's so much on. We'll be here for hours.
I was going to say, obviously, been a little bit busy today. I was going to try and count up just how much racing had been going on over the last 2 weeks. And it's been full on, hasn't it?
Even just go, because normally when I write the scripts and we're doing the racing roundup, I go on TSL and the results live and all the places where the results are. I was literally there for about 5 or 6 hours just going through result sheets and looking. So all the stuff I do for the podcast. So I've decided now with the racing
roundup. We love you for it, Rob. We love you.
You love it though, Rob.
I do. Yeah. I'm a bit of a geek.
You haven't got anything better to be doing anyway, have you?
Aha! I have now, because I'm racing at Full Power Life.
Oh. Yes, you are.
Exclusive announcement right there.
I'm just waiting for my fat boy suit from HRX to turn up. The entry's already in. So, yeah, after 3 years, I'm going to be getting the Focus out again and racing at Full Power Live. So I can't wait for that.
Yay! Finally!
Luckily, you trimmed the splitter down, otherwise you had to pay two entry fees.
You have to bring that up, you tosser. But the car is currently up at Solar Motorsports Workshop at Guildford with our good mate Phil. So he's doing the last few bits on it for me. I'm going to go up this Saturday, do the last few tweaks, get it race ready, and then we'll turn up at Brands and try not to finish last.
That would have been good, wouldn't it? Rob qualifies 25th, his splitter 23rd.
Oh, that's it. I'm putting it back on as it was before. Just for shits and giggles.
I think you should.
Well, I've got enough press up before. Okay, so let's move on quickly. The weekend of the 15th and 16th, Time Attack went to Cadwell Park and got bloody soaked. I've done a very basic roundup, but friend of the show, Ben Robinson, has taken up golf, would you please, Ian? He's just bought a golf. That's it. He's not got the tweed jumper and the weird trousers sitting there hitting balls. He went and bought on a Wednesday a production GTI car because his Noble wasn't ready and thought, nah, bugger it, I'll enter it this weekend. I think he got P2 on the Saturday and then went and won his class on the Sunday. Fair play to him. Club Pro. Yeah, that was pretty good.
It was a bit of a giant slaying weekend that was, wasn't it?
Did you see the cars he was racing against? I think they were flipping Skylines. Yeah. Yeah. It was like I looked at the results list and was like, Jesus Christ.
It was just right place, right time, wasn't it?
Well, yeah. It just goes to show, it's not all about the power. It's not all about the power. If you've got a well set up car and a good driver, it will beat the big power boys any day.
Yeah, definitely.
So a quick roundup. Club 2-wheel drive was won on Sunday by Darren Spooner, who's got a rather lovely 205. Luke Sedakowski won on Saturday. I know he broke the NSX at one point as well. I know Time Attack are doing a All Japan race at their Brands Hatch round as well. It's about £250. You get qualifying in 2 15-minute races I saw advertised. So if you have got a Japanese car and you're interested in that, pop over to Time Attack and see if you can get on the grid. It looks quite good.
Well, that'd be every man and his dog then.
what, a Honda Civic?
To be fair, actually, I think us six in here are about the only ones that don't have a Japanese car.
Are you?
Oh, yeah.
Actually, Rob, what's the running gear in yours? Is it Suzuki, Kawasaki?
I have no idea.
it's behind him. He don't look that.
There we go. I've got a try, so I'm guessing it's going to be Japanese.
It's going to be Japanese, isn't it? All right, yeah. Ignore that comment.
Yeah, yeah. It's not Hangchi or KTM or something. James Peter Ennis has commented, Dawn is a fabulous choice for an ambassador, but I am biased as she's been a great friend for 12 years. There we go, Dawn. We're seeing some love there. Chris Pearson, I think this is about the gearbox, and he's put it's more metal there than a Slipknot gig. I quite like that. I like that. Fair play.
He's a man after my own heart, he is.
That's quite good. Silverstone held an MSVR round over Saturday and Sunday. A select few. MSV Super Cup track day trophy, a massive 54-car grid on the Grand Prix circuit. That's awesome.
That's impressive.
Steve Giles got a similar say out of Ollie Jackson. Not Ollie Jackson. Oh, I'm trying to think. Nick Jackson and Ollie Pidgley in the Moores Motors say out. So it was quite close. I know Colin Tester stuck it on pole as well on the BMW. It's quite closely fought. Sports 2000, Michael Gibbons won that. Again, another huge grid. The Caterham Sevens, that was another 50. There's one thing I've noticed. There's a lot less of the lower grids now. It's almost as if everyone is literally flocking to do some sort of racing, which, again, is fantastic. It supports the clubs.
Thing is, Silverstone promotes big grids anyway. You obviously, if they're on the Grand Prix track, you can have I don't remember the top number you can get, but
I think it is 54 as a maximum.
Yeah, well, there you go. So, top grids for them,
yeah, unless you're in a C1 because C1's like half the size, so I think they allow 100.
Yeah,
so Mike, would you take the Peugeot down at Silverstone if you had the chance?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I've done the national on a track day, but yeah. Yeah, I think the Grand Prix might be a bit big for the little Peugeot, but
anyway, right. I'm a bit worried you'd sort of hit the limiter and sort of sat down the straight.
Yeah, exactly.
It's only
exactly. The Focus Cup, Scott Parkin, who of Dark Side Developments, friends of the show, and Andrew Godfrey took a wing apiece. The Focus Cup, I don't want to say it's struggling, but they haven't had the bigger grids that they had last year. I think they averaged about 16 to 18 last year. They haven't had that. So it'd be interesting to see. I know they are at Full Power Live with us,
it's a different dynamic, though, isn't it? It's all arrive and drive, so...
Yeah, you can't...
It's not like the people own the cars, and you've got more incentive if you own the car, if that makes sense, so...
Yeah, and instead of forking over how much it is just to go and race it and forget about it. So
that's quite an interesting dynamic in the fact that, obviously, being arrive and drive, you can see there where people don't have the spare cash, but... They will be at Full Power Live with us. And I know I was speaking to Gary Mitchell earlier on today, and he is apparently he's going to pull his finger out because he's second in the championship. He doesn't like it.
He doesn't like being a second. Okay, well, on behalf of Club Racing UK, pull your finger out, Gary. There we go. We'll go on with that. Monoposto, Tony Bishop got a double win. Again, 35-car grid. It's thriving. Fantastic to see. Sports 2000, that was another 54-car grid. Great to see. So move on to CSCC at Wetterton. A mixture of club racing and canoe racing there, depending on what day you turned up. I did get a chance to look at a bit of the future classics. Mark Chilton, have you seen his skyline that won? Oh, there we go. It's back again.
Definitely works.
Yeah, you definitely need a couple of canoes or something to go in that, a couple of inflatables.
Or a van, by the looks of it. he's faring up all right.
Now, see what you could do if you had a set of skis and someone out the back, just with a tow rope out the back of the van. You could really have some fun on that. I think
they should have done that. They should have done that.
Yeah,
just with a set of skis,
took the bonnet off a car.
To be fair,
we do it every time, but for the people who are listening on the podcast, that was a picture of the very wet Wetterton and the van in a very big puddle. if you actually want to see, if you're listening on the podcast, get on our YouTube and you could look through all the pictures you're missing out on. But
yeah, I must admit, I listened back to some of our podcasts the other day. I listened back to some of our podcasts the other day and I was like, oh, crap, what are we talking about there? Because an image comes up. We're live on a video call and you forget we're putting this on Spotify in a couple of days.
Yeah, that's it.
It's completely different there when you're not looking at everything.
We'll try, next time we've got a picture up, we'll describe it.
We will try and describe it. Future Classics. So Mark Chilton won in his R32 Skyline. He's got a beautiful, immaculately prepared... Yeah. Group. I don't know if it's a Group A replica or a genuine Group A car, but it's in the Australian Group A livery with Mark Scaife and Jim Richards. My God, what a car.
Beautiful.
So that dominated. Again, we talked about the big grids at Silverstone, the CSCC, what they've been doing. Every single grid, more or less, is packed out.
Yeah.
you can't argue with that. So the Swinging 60s, Mark Campbell... One, he triumphed in his Triumph TR5, 45-car grid. What?
That's awful.
I saw the pun and I went for it. Sue me.
Oh. Oh, he triumphed in his Triumph. Oh, for God's sake.
Okay, Mark Campbell won in his Triumph, and I'm not allowed to do puns.
No, you can.
Just not that bad.
No.
Not that bad. Modern Classic and the Turbo Tin Tops. Dave Griffin won the Modern Classics. Charlie Newton Derby won the Turbo Tin Tops in a Mini. There you go, Steph. You can win in a Mini. Get yours out now. At some
point.
In about 2 years. Yeah. Tin Tops, the CSCC Tin Tops. Again, another mega grid. I looked at an onboard of Mike Bushell that was out in the Fiesta. Have you guys had a chance to look at that?
I watched a little bit of it.
Yeah, the qualifying lap, that was a sexy sounding car. I fell in love with that car.
Yeah. Did sound good.
But in it, then again, it is a Ford. It's the right make, so I'll just leave it there.
Yep.
But again, and that's the kind of series as well, Mike. For yourself, your Peugeot. How do you reckon that would go in the CSCC? I think that'd go well.
Yeah, Gil. That's got the 306s in there now, isn't it? There's a few, few guys in there, so yeah, it'd be good.
Yeah, I think. Correct me if I'm wrong. I think there's a couple of genuine ex-production touring cars in there, isn't there? 306s.
Oh, I think there used to be. I think Carl Chambers is running. He's not running one now because he had an accident in a couple of years ago. But yeah, Carl was running one. I don't know if there's another one still in there now, though.
Yeah, used to be quite a glutton of them in there. And obviously the Turbo 10 Tops, Andrew Butcher and Dawn Boyd know very well as they raced in it early this year. It's a growing grid. But again, with the combined grid, they were looking at 40-odd.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Club racing is still there and available for the masses.
No, it was a good race,
but
also for us.
Good. Andy Southcote won both the Modsport races as well in his. Oh, I didn't put the name of the car. Sorry, Andy, but you won both the races. Well done.
So,
on we go.
I mean, for all this prep work, Rob, and you miss out one guy's car.
Well, if it was a triumph, I can't really say it was a triumphant win, could I? Because you know. The 750 Motor Club raced at Brands Hatch on the Saturday. Friend of the show, Graham Crowhurst, won race one and then stuck it in the barriers in race two. Sorry, Graham. He's leading as well. I can't remember if he was leading. Gary Whittaker won race two. He's on part of this WhatsApp chat that we're part of. And we always take the mick out of the fact that he's got an immaculate M3, really well prepared by him, and he's a fantastic racer. But the problem is you can't see it. It's got a camo livery on it. So you take a photo of it, and all you can see is a track.
So it's like Steph Shorts, then.
But the running joke is he puts a picture up of his car, and it's like, where's the car? But he was out racing in the car, and we had a photo come up on the group, and sadly it was him by the track and his car in the barriers. And he's lost it coming up through Surtees. I think he'd just taken it a fraction too wide, lost the back end and went backwards into the wall. But the car's away at the body shop and should be back out for Alton Park, I believe, is where he's next weekend, I think.
Good.
So good to see him out. Ryan Polly and Scott Edgar shared the wins in the Clio 182s. There was a bit of footage there of, who was it? Track and Beyond. Jason Powell, that's it. There's a bit of footage of him taken to the paddock gravel trap, which was, at least he didn't roll it. That's always a good thing.
Always a positive. And in paddock gravel.
Always a positive.
Yeah.
Have any of you guys ever done that?
I've never rolled a car, touch wood.
Yeah, luckily not yet.
Was it a race car or a road car?
It was a banger car. Many moons ago. Oh. I didn't mean to do it, though. That was the thing. It took me by surprise.
There we go.
It's all good. Good effort.
I'm not going to say if I've run the car before because I'll just get the piss taken out of me by Nick and Steph. Type R.
No, please, Rob. Please tell us. I don't think anybody's heard the story before.
I need to hear this again.
No. I won't say anything.
Bring the story to the table, Rob. This could be someone's first time.
I rolled a UCB. I rolled a UCB at Snetterton while testing for my college race team, and it went wrong. Steph, don't top yourself, mate. I know I've told it many times with you guys around, but you know. It is. Nick's trying to make himself disappear quite quickly. So the Type R Trophy, that's a grid that's starting to slowly pick up numbers. I noticed about 14 to 16 cars on that grid. Dan Thackeray picked up a pair of wins. Murray Shepherd and Craig Land shared the wins in low cost. Classic stock hatch. It was good to see them back out. 22 car grid.
Oh.
You love some of the cars on that grid, didn't you?
I love this. I mean, to be fair, Classic Stock Hatch is one of the first series I ever looked at joining. I've said it before. I'm not going to repeat myself, but I've got a little soft spot for them.
Okay. What in particular?
It's mainly I want to give a Nova a go. Good old Vauxhall Nova.
What, you want to steal one or just, I mean, that's generally what happens to
them. Pretty much. I think every Nova in the history of Novas got stolen, didn't they?
Well, that was the thing. And then Top Gear was like, oh, yeah, you know what you could used to be able to do to these back in the days? Pull out the old hazard switch.
Pull the old hazard light, switch it around.
Turn it upside down, pump start it, and away you go. It turns the ignition on. How great is that?
Yeah.
Don't do that, kids. Yeah. That's very bad. Yeah, don't do that. So if you do see someone sort of bang a Nova sort of sat there and you fancy moving it, don't by all means take that hazard switch out, turn it upside down, bump start it, and move it down the road.
Kids these days wouldn't even know what a bloody Nova looks like.
Yeah, it's all about the Corsa in McDonald's car park, isn't it?
It's all about Fiestas and dropping it on some airbags and doing a pop bang mat mesh.
Mesh.
You're right.
It's down with the right. Kids, isn't it, Nick?
My God, Nick. He's yeah, very, very much down with the kids. If you want to know where Nick normally is when he's not at a racetrack, he's normally in Paul McDonald's making poorly chosen Facebook videos, are you, Nick, of people doing skids?
Yeah. Wicked
skids. Yeah, wicked skids. It was B&Q car park. Come on.
Yeah, I know. You sent me the video. I was like, what are you doing there, Nick? I literally popped out to get some milk.
We popped out to get milk and thought, oh, what are these hooligans doing?
I'm sure you did. I bet he had it in his little diary. Oh, I've got a little car meet just down the road. I want to go see all the pop bang maps.
I don't want to be 34. I want to be young again.
I bet he took the golf and did a burnout.
No, Emily wouldn't let me. She was like, if you leave this car park with anything other than normal driving, I'm going to disown you. I was like, okay, sorry, darling.
Handbrake.
just a little flick of the handbrake on the way out. No, nothing like that. Right, more comments. James Peter Ennis, Mark Chiltern's car is a recreation, so it's not a genuine R32 Group A car. It still looks awesome, though. Still looks amazing. Some of the cars in that series are just, well, they're just, it's like sex in a car. It's just, yeah, that's all you need. Just power, looks.
Sex in the car or as a car?
Just sex made into a car. That's it. Well, you got the pops, the bangs, the backfires, and the way it feels. Sometimes it could be quick, sometimes slow. Just saying.
I was going to say, and in Rob's case, it lasted 30 seconds, and that was his weekend over.
Sorry, Rob.
No,
don't apologise. That was brilliant.
No more jokes. My bad.
Yeah. Okay, we'll just...
If you like a quickie, that's the way, isn't it?
And somehow we're back to the Fiestas and the pop bang maps. James Harris took a pair of wins in the Formula V as well. That was good for him as well. He ran quite well at Snetterton in the first few rounds. He did quite well, didn't he? The Festival Italia.
I think it's his series. It's his series to win this year.
I think so. The AA had an absolute field day because the Festival Italia was on at Brands Hatch on the Sunday. I think all the owners' clubs would have been there, so the AA would have been on quite regular call-out, same as the Vauxhall meet, really, Nick. The Alfa Romeos were out. George Osborne and Scott Richard Austin shared the wins. There was other racing there, but it was all Ferraris, and that's not really club racing, is it, guys?
No.
Not really.
Moving on to the weekend of the 22nd and 23rd. So, last weekend.
That was the weekend just gone.
That was the weekend just gone, Nick. Fantastic.
It was.
There was club racing on. Did you know that?
What?
Yeah,
what is this club racing you talk of?
Well, it's what we're bringing to the masses, Nick. It's what everyone needs to understand. We're bringing club racing to the masses. Or trying to. In our own fun, funky little way. Now, it's just three idiots talking on a podcast about a sport that we love. And we hope you do too. Yeah. And today we've got three more lovely people that go club racing as well, and they like it as well. Except for Rob, he needs a new engine.
Yeah.
It just turns up.
I do feel for you, Rob, but I'll tell you what, mate, as soon as you go out and absolutely smash both races, you'll be absolutely fine, mate, and we will have you back on the show, I promise, to talk about how awesome it was.
At least you were able to turn up. I had to withdraw.
Yes. How is your wrist actually, Dawn?
It has improved somewhat. Nice, nasty scar coming. Cool. Yeah. He's heard a lot about it. It hurt.
Yeah, every 5 minutes. Good.
Only every 5 minutes.
I hope you're milking it and making him do everything for you.
I did. It's improving now, so I can't really do it much more. Yeah, it was just a shame. It was just not that soon. So.
Yeah, at least it's done now, though, isn't it?
Please.
It's getting better.
Done and dusted, fingers crossed. Right, MSBR Cadwell Park on the Saturday. Nick Gwinnett took out both of the Track Attack races in his Clio. He's local to you, isn't he, Nick?
He is. He lives down the road from me.
Down the road local, from you. Cool.
Local boy in Paul.
It must be something about the water you lot drink down there because you're all bloody quick. Nick's a bit risky. He probably lines his water with LSD.
I know of a few racing drivers down here, and let's just say I'm the slowest one of the lot, so
fair point. Well, you're pretty good in a race car. I'm not gonna say about the road car bit, but you know.
No.
I'll leave that there, Nicholas. Cadwell, Formula 4 1500, Grant Palmer and Bryce Aaron shared the wins. I think they're just having a random set of races at every MSV circuit and calling it the whatever 1600 series. Oh, Stefan's disappeared. Has he gone to urinate?
Probably. Need to strap a bottle to that bloke.
He needs a catheter or something just to keep through these podcasts.
For the guys that are here that don't know Steph that well, he has problems.
Don't we all?
Yeah, true.
Nick, are we just going to leave it there, or are we just going to put Steph has problems?
Steph has problems.
Okay, fair enough. Make of that what you put.
I don't want to know anymore. We don't want to
No.
know.
No.
Yeah.
Moving along.
Okay, we'll move it on. We have gone a bit smutty tonight, haven't we? BARC at Donington Park on the Saturday and the Sunday, supporting the trucks. So there'll be diesel everywhere, oil going out, sliding off. Nightmare.
Yeah.
But it was good to watch the C1s that were out. I think a certain Mr. Waterhouse was out doing some interviews, wasn't he?
I think he was, yes.
He was. He was looking rather dapper on camera as I was watching. The C1 race was won by Progressive Motorsport, Howard Haynes and Dave Ward. Friend of the show, Luke Allen, got himself into a bit of trouble during the race. There was a photo that cropped up.
That picture was brilliant. I think there was, 12, 15 C1s in a picture, and his, for some reason, was facing the wrong way.
Facing the other way, facing traffic.
Yeah. I know he hasn't raced for a little while, Luke, but come on. Turn it round, go the other way.
Well, yeah, he did blame it on the co-driver, so I'm wondering, you know.
Ah, fair enough.
The CNC heads, as we've already spoken about before, with Rick Walker was out. Rick Wood and Luke Armiger shared the overall wins. Stefan's back. Where you been, Steph?
Oh, come on. We all know my bladder's the size of a five-year-old's. Can't hack it for an hour plus.
Bladder the size of a five-year-old.
Oh god!
Moving on.
Shout out to Kev Smiles, who Nick decided to he decided he was going to let Nick have a go in the Hyundai Coupe Cup. Then he decided that was maybe not such a good idea for his crash repair bill, so he asked the government to put us into lockdown.
Hold on. Are we staying on the Club Racing UK podcast that it was all Kev Smiles' fault as a reason of COVID?
No, it was your fault because he was scared you'd crash his car.
Wow.
And we'll leave it there. Kev Smiles went out in the Civic and did rather well in one race. He didn't finish the second race, but he went and got himself a trophy and he was very happy. And it's a sexy looking little Civic EP3 he's got there.
Yeah, looks good.
And the one thing, I looked at the TSL results, okay? There were three different Mazda championships there. So the Mark 1s had a maximum capacity grid. So that was the Mark 1s. The Masters Super Cup were back out. Luke Herbert got two wins. Jack Harding was there. Massive grids as well. Abby Eaton was having a guest drive as well. I know she did a few bits with Paul O'Neill on the British Touring Car Twitch app. She did quite well, sort of top eight. When she's not running around with Clarkson and co, she does a bit of racing again nowadays. So it's good to see her back out. And she's supposed to be out of the W Series, but I think they can that till next year.
Oh, okay.
And the Mazda Motorsport Club route, which, again, I looked at this, right? And so, again, we covered this in a previous podcast, but that's three different Mazda championships. The first two were absolute maximum capacity, and the Mazda Motorsport Club turned up with about 18.
Yeah.
And again,
popular little go-karts.
It's popular because, and I was going to cover this later, 750 Motor Club were racing at Silverstone exactly the same weekend. Jason Greterix, Richard Baxter took a win apiece, and that was a 40-car grid. So, again, it sort of reiterates there were 530,000 MX-5s made. About 510,000 were racing in Britain this weekend.
Yep. People love them.
There we go. You can't
beat front engine. No,
but then you try. Nick, you'd race a milk float.
Trust me.
Also, I would like to see a photo of you in an MX-5. That would be quite funny as well.
With his head out the top of the cage.
Windscreen there.
Yeah, just rest your beard on the windscreen. Wipers flap it every now and then.
We just get the old head and shoulders out and just massage the cars, just gives it a wash.
Well, it's a hairdresser's car, isn't it, apparently? So.
Oh, I didn't think of that. Okay, so the BRSCC descended on Thruxton. The Civic Cup 14-car grid there. Max Lewis and Bruce Winfield shared the wins. The BMW Compact had a massive grid. Stephen Daly, Jordan Stilp and Tom Griffiths took the spoils there. That's another series. We mentioned it previously, Nick. That's, again, another series you'd love to get your hands on.
Yeah, definitely.
The classic VW Cup notably had a few more cars. I know they struggled a bit at Stetterton when they sort of ran on the same bill as our Enduro KA race. But they managed to get a few more cars out. It was quite a good grid.
Well, this is it. We spoke to Ken, didn't we, on that weekend of Snetterton, and there's cars in build. There's cars about. It's just this year has affected different people in different ways. And
yeah, I mean, the one thing to ask you three is there, at any point this year, certainly when COVID hit, was there at any point you guys kind of thought I might not be out at all this year?
Completely. We thought everything was cancelled because even our rounds that were allowed to start were taken by the touring cars. We've got nothing until September. Sorry.
Bloody hell!
I was just enjoying a rest.
Yeah.
I built a pub in the garden, and it all looks good. So.
Perfect. I hear we're having the Club Racing UK end of year party at your pub.
Yeah.
Come down. Yeah, not a problem.
Sounds like a plan.
£25 ahead.
get the whiskey on tap. I'll be there. So, Mike, Rob, was there any sort of worries about yourselves getting out at all this year?
Yeah, at the start, definitely. At the start, but I think again, probably quite fortunate because I'm doing Castle Coom. They have one of their own race series. Unfortunately, obviously, they have sacked off some of the other racing that would have been there. Obviously, but in favour of getting their own championship. So, I mean, yeah, at the start, definitely. Again, there wasn't going to be any with all the changes. It's different, but I think with Coombe, we've been quite lucky, really, that they prioritised their own racing series.
They've looked after their own, yeah.
Yeah, which has been good.
Good. What about you? I suppose as well, I know, Rob, you've got quite a lot of sponsorship on board with the sort of... I know there's a lot of people that have dropped out for the money side of things as well, so that's obviously quite a factor in this year as well, I would say.
I was always worried, obviously, when lockdown hit. I think everyone was in the same boat. Like, no one knew how bad it was. Obviously, it was bad enough the whole country going lockdown, but no, like, you didn't know where you stood. And I think I think a few months into lockdown, I thought we were going to get racing, but you just don't know when. Because I think one of the F1 at Silverstone, when F1 was on, that was when I was meant to be racing. So all of our dates have had to be all messed around and put forward. And unfortunately, this year I'll only really be taking part in half the championship. But yeah, with obviously COVID and sponsorship-wise, some have dropped out, which is understandable. Like everyone, they need to keep floating as well as me. Yeah. But no, definitely for next year, they said they'll be on board as soon as they get some money flowing again, which is understandable. And you don't want them to give you money and then they get bankrupt, or I'd much rather they have some money in their pocket and were able to sponsor me, say, in a year's time or 2 years' time, than have money this year and then they can't sponsor me at all in the future.
Yeah, so
everybody's dynamics have changed, haven't they? I don't think...
Yeah.
Even if you had a giant crystal ball, I don't think anybody could have forecast the kind of impact that this has had over the years. So, you know, stuff's changed left, right,
even
there,
in January when we were all stood on our stand at the Autosport show, you know, talking to Dawn and Andrew, no one saw this coming.
No. I feel sorry for the guys that actually won't make it out this year.
Yeah.
They've lost their jobs or, you know, if they're funding everything themselves, it's just going to be really hard for them. If they do, you know. It's a shame, really.
Oh, yeah, yes. Definitely.
Yeah, definitely. It's unfortunate, but it's good to see that you three have been out, even if it's only for qualifying, Rob, but we know you're going to come back strong, mate. Don't you worry about that.
I had testing. So
oh, you did testing? It's okay.
With no problems.
No problems.
Yeah, my head was trying to get ripped off with the wind, but I had no rain. Like, Silverstone, it was lovely.
Yeah, I think you're about the only person that hasn't.
Yeah, I know.
But then, to be fair, being in this single seater like that, I think the oars sit on the top when the rain comes out, so you can really get the leverage. In a tin top, you've got a cut hole in the door. It's really awkward.
Well, no, you're
that's what the flaps are for on the windows, isn't it?
Yeah,
exactly. So, 750 Motor Club went to Silverstone. All streamed on Alpha Live. I quite enjoyed some of the coverage. Did any of you guys get a chance to watch it?
Yeah,
I've seen snippets.
It's been quite good. Starting with the hot hatch, I've noticed Class A in the hot hatch has dipped quite a bit. Ben Rushworth's left, quite a few of the big boys have gone. So it was kind of left up to Gary Preble to take both the wins, but Class B was the biggest class there, sort of 200 horsepower. Again, Mike, your car would fit in lovely on that grid.
Yeah, it's one of the ones I looked at doing, to be honest. It's one of the few that was in the running.
Yeah, I mean, is it something that you could sort of, you're sort of thinking about doing, maybe squeezing in one weekend just to try it out, or?
To be honest, yes and no. I think I'll do Tricolor will be the other one I want to do. I want to maybe hopefully get out of Donington, maybe if I get a guest at that end of the year. And they race at Donington in October. But yeah, it's fantastic. One of the three really good ones out there. So.
Yeah. And saying again, your car would slot in there absolutely perfectly. And as you've proven this year as well, it's going to be competitive, so no worries about that. Club Enduro was one. Okay, it was a Seat Leon that won it overall. Rob Baker, Carl Swift, Area Motorsport. Fantastic. The car that I loved was the one that won Class D, the little Almera. Did you guys see that?
Yeah, I did.
That's great, isn't it?
That car was with... You know when we did the last Rockingham track day with the Vectra?
Yes, I was going to say.
That car was there.
They were testing there, weren't they? So, and that's a lovely little car. It's not a car that you see very often.
Cool. No, cool looking car that.
And they went out and won Class D in the road sports. Okay, it's not going to be on the front row of the grid, but it's holding its own in its own class.
Exactly.
There we go. And Jamie Callender was out again. I think he's appealing to get his rear bumper back, from what I gathered.
Yeah, I didn't see what happened there. I just saw that immaculate looking Porsche in gorgeous white, and then I saw it with its bumper missing. I didn't see what happened.
Unfortunately, I think it just looks like someone outbraked themselves and bumped into the back of him, which can happen.
I've seen a couple of those.
There we go. Brad Philpott won the shorter road sports in the Lotus Elise as well. Again, most of the car, I think road sports and Club Enduro, a lot of the cars just sort of go for both in one weekend. So it's quite good to see that. Again, that's a series that you're interested in, wasn't it, Steph, with the Mini?
Yeah, it was. I think once we get done, we'll probably end up in probably the Trackday Championship or something like that.
Just something for a longer race, yeah.
Makes it easier. If we're still racing the car at the same time, we can hit it all in one weekend type thing, and slightly less duration as well, isn't it? So not as harsh on the car, just to start off with while we get a run in and figure it out.
Yeah, I mean, Rob, Mike, I mean, do you guys ever fancied a bit of endurance racing, or has it always just been the straight shootout, sort of 20-minute go for glory?
Yeah, I think the 15, 20 minutes for me at the minute is, yeah, it's probably where it's at.
Don't fancy an hour or so slugging it out.
I think 20 minutes is my limit. I don't even like the difference between 15 and then 20 minutes. The extra five, sometimes...
Really?
I noticed that. When I raced pre-05, we had a couple of times where we were lucky enough to have 20-minute races and 15. You do notice it because you do... I mean, I'm a fat lad anyway. Everyone knows I'm not healthy. Getting it like after 15 minutes, I feel quite bad. After 20 minutes, I thought I was going to die.
Oh, yeah. I mean, after 12 hours, Steph? Oh,
yeah.
I quite like it because it gives me something to think about, you know?
Yeah.
Being in the pit, you know, driver changes and stuff like that and fueling up and all
that. Well, this is it. I mean, I won't lie. Before I did the KA, It works quite well, doesn't it? You either go out all out, balls out, or other genitalias, and then or endurance racing. You can, you have to think about it a bit. But then I found, so doing KAs last year, I found when we did the Ford Power Live 15-minute sprint races, it was over too quick after doing Enduro KA. And I've mentioned it before, but old Matt and Steph, they got one 15-minute race, and it was just like, what happened? Where's the weekend gone? It's just a bit like that. So,
well, it's sort of wham bam. Thank you, ma'am. When you're used to the endurance stuff,
it was. It just gone.
Yeah.
I quite look forward doing an hour's endurance type.
It's certainly something that I've looked at doing as well. Which, you know, I think it's something that's also seemed to be quite popular. It's sort of got more popular.
We might end up doing something now next year. We've got plans afoot. You never know, because there's actually four people in our little family team. We've got me, Andy races, Jamie races, and Will. Whether we're in circuit racing or auto cross or auto solo, then we'd do some different times. So we could maybe make a team, and I'll learn to do more than 20 minutes.
That's it. Yeah, well, that'd be good.
There we go. Sky's the limit. To finish off the 750 Motor Club and the racing roundup was the MR2s looking at a 42-car grid. I know you shared a selfie of Patrick Mordell sat in the holding area with all the cars behind him. That was a brilliant sight, wasn't it?
That was wicked. Yeah, like I say, that was, again, testament to how some of these series are doing. It was brilliant.
Fantastic. With that, I'm quite excited about this, as I was messaging our fellow podcast host earlier, Nick Holmes. I'm going to hand over to Nick Holmes and Stefan Marsh for some competitions coming up. You guys are going to like this, so take it away, guys.
Okay, yeah. Steph, do you want to do the camera one first, and then we'll do the other competition?
The other new one. Yeah, I'll go for it. So it's the same as last time. We've still got our competition up with Wide Remote for GoPro. So if you become a member on our website, www.clubracinguk.co.uk, as soon as you're a member, you're entered in every competition. The current one is to win £250 worth of kit. So you get your remote GoPro set up with the GoPro, everything. All you've got to do is wire it in. And it's a good bit of kit. And you'll be away. Easy recording.
Nothing worse than sitting there going, crap, I forgot to turn the camera on, and then you can't reach
around with your gloves on trying to find the record button.
So, yeah.
No nice good. Handy so,
little. Yeah. Get yourself signed up. You also get priority posting and things like that as well. But
right. Come on, Nick. I'm excited about this one.
So I was jet setting around Cornwall this weekend just gone, and our good friend Mr. Callum McDougall got in touch from HRX, and he came up with a fantastic idea, and we're going to run with it. That he is going to do. Well, we're going to do a Club Racing UK Save of the Year. There was a video that he sent me. I think it was one of the MX5 drivers at Donington Park. We'll try and find the video. But yeah, so Callum and HRX are going to do, we're going to have a little competition. The best save of this year, so it has to be a save that's happened this year, is going to be judged by none other than F1's Ben Edwards. Okay, so we're going to compile them all together, and he's going to pick a winner, but the winner will get a pair of Nomex underwear from HRX. So I think that's a brilliant prize for and there you go. There's a little picture that Callum's put together for us. So if you've had a scary moment this year, or how did we say it a couple of episodes back?
If you found out that adrenaline is in fact brown,
that's the one.
The Nomex will come in handy.
Exactly that. So, I have to say, Callum has been amazing with us. Well, since we partnered up at Autosport this year, and he's done some great competitions and great prizes for us. But yeah, the fact he came out of the blue with this one, you could win yourself a nice pair of Nomex HRX underpants. just send us in your clips. You know, if you've had a very scary moment that's made you gone, oh poo, and then we will get them to, as you see, none other than F1's Ben Edwards, and he will be picking the winner later on in the year. Obviously, once all the racing's done, we'll do this one. But yeah, if you have a clip that you want us to look at and judge, send them in to us, please.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Yeah. And kudos to HRX. Callum's been a massive support of the podcast. You do love him. And I get my suits at some point in the next couple of weeks.
Yes.
So I'm looking forward to that. I have ordered a very sexy race suit from HRX. Hopefully it still fits after the COVID non-diet. I'll have to get back on the bloody treadmill. But
I'm hoping Callum got my email where we asked for some special editions for it.
Special editions?
What's that? Pink nipple tassels.
It's kind of my face, Nick's face, either side on the chest.
I would wear that with pride.
I thought we agreed on his butt cheeks.
Wow. It was a toss up.
And where does Matt's face go? Where the junk goes? Just covering the front.
I'm going to leave that one as a surprise.
Yeah. There we go. Okay, guys, on to some final comments. Ashley Shelswell, he is doing the 2CB 24 hours. Oh, yes, that's this weekend. He is doing the 2CB 24 hours in the mini class, the mini grand class, or 1,000cc mini. 2-hour stints, no problem. 20 minutes in the Sierra. He's got a Sierra that he races in, Bark Saloons, yeah. Modified Fords. He just put 20 minutes in the Sierra is enough, and I can imagine, because that thing is a beast.
I bet it's an animal.
So there we go. That's the last comment there. James Peter Ennis, we did forget the Fun Cup at Thruxton for the first time ever. I did want to concentrate a bit on more of the clubby stuff. Fun Cup is quite... It's a fantastic series.
We do love the Fun Cup, and we will share it about, but it is definitely at the taller end of...
So we wanted to give a bit more of a shout out to the proper sort of club level racers. I know we have mentioned a few of the sort of gorgeous, expensive cars that we like, but we will be covering the Fun Cup at a later date. So don't worry about that, Jamie.
Yeah, we'll be doing a feature on that one.
Chris Pearson says, make sure there's a Portaloo for Steph. I think he's got one in every room of his house. he also says, I think this
I was in the loo.
Yeah, I think this is regarding Nick driving an MX5 with the beard. He put, set it up, I'll be there to shoot that beard flapping in the wind.
Yes. Let's do it. Let's get that done.
I like that. Steph, have you got any comments on your side?
I think one of you read out, the other one's from Chris Dowse and Mike Blandon. His Green Machine is great to commentate on at Coombe. Keep going, Mike. Looking like we could have a 39 car grid in the hot hatches on Monday. And Mike Blandon's watching. Nice one.
I should hope so.
Yeah, because I'm here.
It's not written on mine.
So I think that's
all we got.
There's one more. There's one thing I want to give. Well, obviously, with the coming weeks, shout. I just want to give a quick shout out to Mark Bate and his 116 trophy guys again. I know we're. I know obviously I'm going to be racing with them September 13th, but we were given the horrific news the other day that Wales is not letting any racing going ahead. So I was gutted at that I'm not going to be racing at Anglesey with them. But I've got a. You've got to take your hats off to those guys. They've managed to rearrange the race already. And we will now be at the Snetterton 300 on that same weekend of September 13th. So,
and we will be there to cover all things Nick Holmes.
We are going to be there. Yes. So, but yeah, I just thought that was pretty mega. It kind of shows where the 750 Motor Club are with their series and stuff. The fact that they can just quickly swap a race meeting over like that with obviously Wales shutting up shop again. I thought that was pretty impressive. So yeah, I want to shout out to Mark Bate and his team on that one, really.
Yeah, again, I think that's going to be the only other sort of worry in the next couple of weeks, is watching the cases slowly creep and see what people do. But Dawn, you have a question?
It was more a case of, if you're going to do a quick shout out, just the hello. Nope. Finsport gang, hello, not forgotten. 10 years, if it wasn't for you, I wouldn't be where I am now. B42 is a way forward, but Finsport got me here.
Fantastic. Massive shout out to Jay Finley and the boys and girls there. Fantastic. Yes. Okay, if that is everything, I just want to say my heartfelt thanks to Rob Willem, Mike Bland, B42's Motorsport, Dawn Bloyd, Andrew Butcher. Thank you very much for coming on, guys. Again, this is very much three idiots talking about a sport we love, but we do it with all the heart in the world. And we will be doing some live. We've got some live stuff coming up. Again, I've got scripts coming out of my ears, so we are not stopping for anyone. So
nope.
I've been Robert Lewis. That's been Stefan Marsh. And the man below me, certainly not in person, is Nick Holmes. This has been the Club Racing UK podcast.
You wish.
Good night, everyone.
Night, everyone.
Bye.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.